to Pitney and Amelia's Bitchin' Boutique.
We may be awful,
but we're right. Night. So remember how Shatner came to town?
Yes.
It was really, I mean, it was like a couple months ago when I bought the tickets, and it was like this really cool thing to be able to take my dad to go see William Shatner.
Yeah.
Because my dad is like episode one of Star Trek when it originally aired. Dad was right there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he, and it's so weird because he doesn't seem like that guy. But God, he was so into Star Trek. So when I was a kid, because I, you know, it was almost off the air by the time I was born, because I was born right around then. When it was in, you know, syndication and stuff, it's like, it was on a lot, as was, you know, Lawrence Welk and Hee Haw and all the other mm-hmm. things Dad watched for the chicks, because he really watched Star Trek for the chicks and the comedy.
Oh, sure.
But
yes.
He, I mean, he was very into it and otherwise, but it was always that funny show with the babes, you know, when I was a kid. And he, next time you're around him, get him talking about Star Trek. It will never end. He just gets so
now,
excited.
Now, is he into
it.
Next Generation too, or only, or
he liked,
just
he was more willing to give it a chance than I was.
Uh-huh.
Because that whole first season of Next Gen, I was just like, I don't know what they think they're doing. They think they're going to make a new Star Trek series. I was so against it.
Well, I remember when it first came on, I was living in Santa Cruz.
Yeah.
And I was not into Star Trek at all.
No, which shocked me later when I found out
you'd
never even seen it.
I just thought it was some cheesy old people thing. I just...
Like it might as well have been Space 1999 or something, right.
And so, but I was intrigued by it just because it was... I had a little bit of the Noslin thing going back then where if it was science fiction, oh, I had to watch it.
You had to at least give it a chance.
Yeah. And I remember I just wasn't grabbed by it.
Yeah.
And I don't know how I became so obsessed with Next Gen later. Maybe because it got better and then I was open. Maybe.
Well, yeah.
I became so obsessed and then I got into the original series.
Right. Because I remember... just being horrified. In fact, I remember it being around the time when you moved to San Francisco. That, like, the day that I found out, you've never watched Star Trek?
Yeah.
Like, what? Yeah, but, but anyway, so this thing, this Shatner thing, so what they did was they showed Wrath of Khan, and then the Shatner came out and did, like, a little Q&A. And they had had paper and stuff out on these tables out on the front of the theater where you could write a question.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, Dad had to. And because he wanted to make damn sure his question was going to get asked, because he's very much like me in that, like, when I go to a con and if there's someone I really want to meet... I make sure that I have something planned to talk to them about that isn't the same shit that everyone else is talking to them about. Like, for example, when we met William Catt, we talked to him about when he was in Pippin.
Oh, that's right. Yes,
to him being Carrie's prom date or him being in House. It's like, no, we're going to talk to him about Broadway musicals, which got him very excited. So Dad wrote a question, and I didn't even see it. But he told me that it was about these equestrian events and competitions that Shatner was always involved in around Lexington, Kentucky, which is near Dad's hometown. And then, of course, later Dad was like, oh, I didn't even realize, like, you know, he does, like, standard horses. That's not even thoroughbreds. It's a whole other thing. And Dad, like, went off on this whole thing, and I'm like, I don't even know what you're talking about. But he wanted to come up with something that was different. And so we're standing around waiting, and of course there's all these. It was like being at a con, but it was
I'm sure
that just the biggest nerds imaginable. And this theater, I should have looked it up. I mean, it easily holds a couple thousand people. I mean, this theater is huge. It has two big balconies.
Oh, I'm sure it was sold out.
And
right?
it was full. I mean, because I kept looking up at the top balcony, and you can't. You can't, from the floor, you can't see. We had great seats. I nailed it. But from the floor, you can't see if the balcony is full, but you could tell that the entire front of the balcony was full.
Uh-huh.
And, I mean, just watching Wrath of Khan with, like, a couple thousand Trekkies.
See, that would be fun.
That alone, because my first thought was, oh, God, I mean, because it hasn't really been that long since I watched that movie, because I watch that old movie all the time.
Yeah.
But I kept thinking, you know, well, Dad hasn't watched it in a long time because he can only see things when they come on TV. Because he has machinery, but he doesn't know how any of it works, and it doesn't occur to him to do it.
Oh, it's my mother, I know.
I mean, he pays for 10,000 channels of cable and a DVR and all this stuff, but he can't use any of it. He just watches MSNBC and the Hallmark Channel, just back and forth. That's all he watches. So it was just a blast, and everyone around us was, like, everyone that was there was in a great mood and was so damn excited. And, I mean, it's that whole nerdy, you know, watching a movie with a bunch of nerds and they're all applauding at things.
Mm-hmm.
And there wasn't nearly as much in movie. I mean, like, during the opening credits, everyone got cheered for. And, you know, people, you know, tore the roof off the place when Ricardo Montalban's name came up. And so, you know, it was, like, really exciting. But during the movie, I mean, obviously there's certain laugh lines that got big laughs.
Yeah.
As if these people haven't seen this movie 100 times.
Right, right.
But big laughs. But there was, I was shocked at how certain moments in the movie I felt should have gotten, at the very least, polite applause.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was, like, fucking silent. Like, how is the room, how are all the women in the room not screaming when Khan takes off his cloak and reveals the chest? How?
And I'm surprised, because knowing Khan women the way that I do, and maybe they're different now, I'm surprised there weren't 200 bras spinning in the air.
It was,
you know?
Because that is one of the greatest things in cinema history, is Ricardo Montalban's chest in The Wrath of Khan. Which, it's always a big trivia question. That is his actual chest. He's not wearing a fake chest. That's bullshit. Anyone who knew Ricardo Montalban's career, he was always taking his shirt off and shit. He always was built like that. He's always been that hot. He always looked that good. There's no way he would wear a fake chest. But anyway, so, like, you know, like, when all of Khan's people show up and, you know, it's Khan, and, like, the room doesn't react. And then they get inside, and he's slowly, like, taking off his gloves and taking the cloth thing from across his face, and you see the lower half of his face. Nothing. Taking the headdress thing off so you can see his whole head and revealing who it is. Nothing. Taking the cloak off and revealing the chest.
Me,
nothing.
I view that movie as the complete resurgence of Trek fandom.
Oh my God. Because it's a movie that's so good you can show it to people who've never watched Star Trek,
you know,
and they can enjoy the hell out of it.
So I'm surprised that there wasn't stronger reactions.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's just, I mean, it was so, God damn it, it's so good. But yeah, so, it's not that the audience wasn't having a good time. It was always very surprising that they weren't making more noise, because I know these people. I know these are Khan people. You know, they laugh at inappropriate times.
I know, was there instances of histrionic laughter accompanied by clapping that went on way too long?
Weirdly, no. Not, although,
wow, because you know what I'm talking about.
I know
about.
Exactly, yeah. But, I mean, luckily, this movie is genuinely funny in a lot of places, so the laughter was always where it was intended to be funny, you know. But when at the, you know, when it's all over and Shatner comes out, of course the place goes insane.
Yeah.
And he told a story that I won't go into because it would take too long to explain it. Just, and the only reason why I would tell it was just so that he made this weird reference to the Me Too movement that was utterly, had nothing to do with what he was talking about, but he thought he was making a point, and it was like, oh, shit, is this how it's gonna go?
Oh,
it's like, oh, come on, Shat, you can do better than this. But then they started answering audience questions, and there was a point where I believe with all my heart that the guy was about to read my dad's question. Uh-huh. Because the way he would read things, he would normally say that this question comes from so-and-so who lives in, you know, who lives in Round Rock or who lives in, you know, wherever. And then he'd read the question. Well, he started to say, well, you're really known for breeding horses and dogs. And, like, he's about to say the next thing, and Shatner just jumps in with this, oh, well, you know, I raised Dobermans, and, you know, I almost got one best in class at Westminster, and blah, blah, blah. And he tells, I swear to God, an 8-minute story about trying to knock up a dog. Like, this one dog he really wanted to breed, uh-huh. and then the dog had an infection in his dick, and they had to freeze his balls. And, I mean, it wasn't a bad story. It was actually kind of fabulous.
Yeah, it's kind of fascinating.
Because Shatner keeps talking about, we had to freeze the balls, and I'm running around with the balls. And it's like, oh, my God. Oh, it was kind of amazing. But the guy never got to go back to the question. He never got to ask it. And so, but I have that all filmed because mm-hmm. As soon as I thought, oh, my God, he's holding Dad's card, I had my phone and I hit video even just to get the sound, although I eventually kind of positioned my phone kind of on my own shoulder and kind of had it positioned so that, but it just wasn't meant to be. I ended up recording until he went on to the next question, just thinking, God, any second. And so if you ever want to hear the story about the frozen balls, the dog balls, I do have that video on my phone.
That's funny.
But Dad had a great time, and I didn't get him back to his house until like 11 o'clock. Which is not like he never stays up that late or anything, but he was concerned like a week ahead of time that I was going to keep him out really late. And I flat out told him, it's like, Dad, you and William Shatner are the same age. If he can stay up that late, you can stay up
that's
that late.
That's so funny.
And then I tweeted that, and I tagged William Shatner, and Shatner liked my tweet.
See, that's fab.
And I didn't even bother telling Dad that because he wouldn't understand it.
Yeah, yeah.
He would be like, now what is Twitter? I was like, no, it's okay.
That's so funny, though, because, like, my mom is that same way. Like, when me and Steve took her to San Francisco.
Yeah.
I think we didn't get home until, like, 10:30, and I knew that she was just appalled. Because for her, getting home at 6 is late.
Right. It's not like she was the one driving. Mm-mm. It's not like being out in the dark was a problem.
But, I mean, it was instantly. She went home, put her nightgown on, went and did her teeth, took her makeup off, and went to bed. And I was like, okay.
The Year of the Vagina!
Are you guys ready for our first guest segment? Here's a little vagina talk from the ladies at I Shake My Head with Lisa and Sam.
Hey, Samantha.
Hi, Lisa.
How you doing?
Good.
So our friends from the Bitchin' Boutique podcast, mm-hmm. they asked us to, oddly enough, to talk. They wanted us to submit a clip about Regina.
Lisa.
Like Regina, Saskatchewan, I guess.
No.
No?
No.
No.
You sent me their message.
Yeah.
They want us to talk about vaginas. Not Regina.
I thought it was Regina.
No.
Because we live in Saskatchewan, and I'm like, okay, sure.
Let's talk
sure,
about
friends
Regina.
Of the podcast. We can tell you about Regina, right? That's what, no.
No.
The vagina.
The vagina.
Like the like my vagina?
Your vajayjay.
Our vajayjays. Okay.
So,
awkward conversation in the car happening right now.
I mean, Regina is kind of like a vagina because
it's dirty.
Both can be dirty.
Both can be dirty.
Both can be dirty.
Both can be slippery.
Right? That's disgusting.
Well, they can be.
Yes, they can.
They can be.
Both can smell.
Both can smell. Both can smell. Right? I don't think both are self-cleaning.
No, but the vagina is.
I Googled it.
Yes.
And it said it was self-cleaning. And it was funny. It showed a picture of a dirty, wet cat and then a dry, fluffy cat. And I'm like, I don't even understand what that's about either.
That's a wet pussy and a dry pussy.
I don't even understand where a cat is even closely related to, like, my vagina.
Yeah.
Right?
But, you know, there's so many different words for a vagina.
It's weird.
Like, pussy would be one of them.
Yeah, don't say the bad word.
Vajayjay.
Yeah, don't
the
say
C the... word.
Don't say it. The C word. Yeah,
the T word. The T word.
Right?
What's the T word?
It sounds like, what?
Oh,
right? So that's what's kind of funny is all the different weird
words. All the
words.
Different words for... See, now, we could call it Regina.
Yeah.
Because it's so close to vagina.
Yeah.
That people wouldn't even understand what we were talking about.
And Regina really is a city in
it
Saskatchewan.
It is a city in Saskatchewan.
Right? So that's what I just thought. We were talking about Reginas. Yeah.
And sometimes people call vagina, vagina.
Yeah.
So. Yeah.
So it's kind of.
Because it's so close.
It is so close.
It's a little comical.
Yeah, it's a little, it is a little bit funny. So I don't know. We don't really have a lot to say about it.
No.
But it's kind of a funny, I like the fact that it's a funny word.
It is a funny word.
Yeah.
And we have them.
And hoo-ha.
Oh, hoo-ha.
We do have them, and they've never bared children. I'm proud of my non-bearing child vagina.
Did you know that your pelvic area gets malleable when you are pregnant?
You don't
pregnant?
Even understand what malleable means.
It means your pelvic area gets soft so that it gets ready to have the baby.
No, I don't even care.
I was unfortunate and was part of a conversation that two women were having.
I don't want to hear that.
One being pregnant, one having had children.
I don't want to hear that. I don't even
I know.
I didn't want to have babies because I don't want to go to a gynecologist to look at my vagina. Right? So,
Why do you call it vagina?
Just sounds better.
It sounds weird.
Vagina.
Call it your vajayjay.
No, that
or
sounds
your hoo-ha.
Weird.
Maybe or your down one, there.
Or my down there or my down south. All right, guys. That's all we got for you.
That's all we got.
I don't know if we've helped you at all, but
no.
We just think it's an odd word.
It is an odd word.
Beautiful job, ladies. And remember, if you'd like to submit a segment for our Year of the Vagina, send us an email and I will send you the deets.
Back to Star Trek, though, because this was one of the things that as I was driving home that night, I remembered, and this is one of those cool moments with my dad, and of course, cool moments with my dad frequently involve Star Trek.
which is so crazy.
But like when they started making the new Star Trek movies. I mean, because that was another one of those, God, I hope it works, but I'm not having high expectations kind of things. And then they completely blew me away. I love that. That first Star Trek movie is so great. And the whole time I was watching it the first time, I was like, I gotta take Dad. I gotta talk Dad into going to the movies with me so I can take him because he's going to love this. Because they nailed it. And it's so funny and it's so good. So I took Dad to the theater to see that movie, and I remember at one point, I could just tell in my peripheral vision that he was just having a ball, and mm-hmm. he was laughing, and he was just like, he was so excited. And at one point, I looked over at him, and this is one of my favorite memories of my life. I looked over at him, and he saw that I was looking, and he turned and looked at me, and he gave me this big smile and two thumbs up, like, like he was so happy that he couldn't even express it except for just to give me two thumbs up.
That's awesome.
It's just like, you know, because we couldn't talk because we were in a theater, but that was, I love, that's one of my visuals. Like if I could have a picture of that, it was so cute. That was one of my favorite things.
See, that's fabulous. That's cool.
I feel like I've been talking for a while, but I just remembered another one, a similar thing of my mom, but I can let you talk, because I've totally fucking been doing all the talking.
Yeah, because I don't know what, like, which sort of triggered this, even though I wanted to talk about the whole Shatner thing anyway.
Yeah.
Was that, first, I don't remember how exactly I came up with this. Oh, wait, I do remember how exactly, because it totally is one of the things I'm going to say, but I was like, it would be fun to, like, talk about our favorite memory ever.
Right.
But obviously it'd have to be more than one because different things.
Yeah. Well, favorites for different reasons. Yeah.
But I have a favorite dad one.
Oh, God.
You know, which is like one of the few really good memories of him.
Right, yeah. Because as people who've listened to the show for a while know, his dad is kind of a bastard.
Oh, yeah.
His dad was really scary son of a bitch.
But he was like such a dork sometimes in like really, really, really weird ways.
Yeah.
And I don't even remember if I saw one of these things in a store and I liked it, or if I somehow, I don't know how it came up.
Okay.
But there was like these plastic green frogs.
Okay.
Like very, very 70s plastic green frogs. In fact, I'm sure that if you saw one, you'd be like, oh, I saw one of those.
Okay. And but so, not necessarily like the frog that you'd put your kitchen scrubby in or one
no,
of those.
No, it was just like a little toy that you squeezed it and there was a little hole at the bottom.
And it makes and the it, legs jump?
And it no, it just squeaked.
Oh, it just squeaked. Okay.
And I must have seen one in Payless or something that I liked. But anyway, I woke up one morning and there was a trail of those frogs going from my bedroom down the hall.
Oh my God.
Down the steps of the back room or of the backyard into a kiddie pool that he had built for me or that he had, you know,
like he put together
for me. And it was covered floating with a whole bunch of those frogs.
So he bought like a hundred of those frogs. Oh my God, that's so nice.
And I was like that, and that's like, it just makes me happy to think about it. And I was
that's
so
crazy.
Delighted.
How old do you think you were?
Oh my gosh.
Like 5 or 6 or something, maybe?
Maybe 5 or 6 or 7, like that before 10 for sure.
Yeah. Oh my God.
But yeah, that's one of like
my. That's so cute.
Yeah, that's such a great memory. And I remember, I mean, as recently as, let's say 15 years ago, my mom had at least 2 of those frogs on the back steps.
They were still there?
But they're gone now.
Right.
Because she doesn't understand that how much I would have loved to have one of those.
Right, because she wouldn't have even remembered where they came from, probably.
No, but that was like a really, really, really cool thing.
Oh, my God. Oh, that God, I've probably seen them if they were on the back steps of the
house.
Oh,
I know you have, because they were there forever. And I think there were some in, you know, in like my mom's garage, how she has that built-in desk overlooking that window. I think there was probably some on there, because there was a lot of garden-y shit that was on there.
Just
that
got
was
put
just
there.
Like knick-knacks. Yeah.
Oh my God. How funny. Oh, that's so
but
cute.
But I thought that was just like, yeah, that's one of my best memories ever. Like a sentimental memory, you know?
Right. That's so cute. Oh my God.
Very Dark, Very Quick is a delicious talk and variety show, squished around interviews with a side order of skits, a double heaving of characters, and hot steaming weirdness. Each episode, Mike and Aaron order up a new topic and serve it up to you as the Blue Plate special du jour. You can catch Very Dark, Very Quick on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and blogtalkradio.com. Very Dark, Very Quick is a member of the Astro Panda Network, vegan-friendly, MSG and GMO-free.
The thing that I was thinking about mom that was similar to the dad thing, the reason why it made me think of it is because mom and I went to the theater a lot. Because ever since I was a kid, she used to buy tickets for like all of us, and then eventually she realized that I was the only one who really wanted to go.
Uh-huh.
And she would just buy season tickets to whatever the next season was of whatever touring musicals or whatever were coming to town, and we would just go see everything. And most of the time, we had no idea what we were seeing. And when we moved to Texas and we started doing it, it was mostly at the Paramount, but they would sometimes alternate between the Paramount Theater in downtown Austin and the theater where I went to the Shatner thing up at UT. If a show was particularly huge, it would be up there. Like, like we saw when The Lion King was touring, we saw that up there. And like when I got to see, oh my God, when I got to see Cabaret with Joel Grey as the MC, I was in that theater in the 7th row, right in front of him. I still cannot believe I was that close to Joel Grey ever in my life, because I'm even at like 16, 17 years old, I was that big a nerd. I mean, God, when I was a kid, I knew one of the earliest shows we ever went to was a touring company of Anything Goes, and Cheetah Rivera was in it. And even at like 10, 11 years old, I don't know how I knew who Cheetah Rivera was, but I knew that was a big deal.
Yeah, yeah.
That I was seeing her. But one time, well, like I said, we would frequently just get tickets to whatever it was, and we had no idea. And I guess this would have been like 85, 86. And we had tickets to a touring company of Little Shop of Horrors. And that show, I think it actually started off Broadway in like 83. Like, that show wasn't even that old. But it never went to Broadway back then. So, like, it wasn't hugely known, and we had no idea. And we definitely didn't know it was based on a Roger Corman movie. I mean, we didn't know at all. And so we're just like, you know, we just see the thing in the ad, and it was part of our package, our season package, and it was like, we'll see what it
Whatever,
is.
Whatever, yeah.
You know? Because we saw all kinds of crazy shit, and it turned out to be amazing. So, I mean, literally by the end of, like, the second song, Mom and I are both, like, losing our minds. Uh-huh. That how this show is so good. I have no idea what's happening, yeah. But this is so great. And, I mean, when you don't know what's coming, and you don't know that there's going to be this enormous puppet of a plant yeah. that's going to come up, and it's going to be singing, and it's going to eat people and shit. But apart from just, like, that moment of realizing that Mom is loving this show as much as I am, we happened to be sitting in exactly the right place in the Paramount, because, you know, they have a balcony there, too. We were basically the row, like, right in front of the row that was directly under the edge of the balcony. Uh-huh. And I don't know how this worked, but the play Little Shop of Horrors doesn't end the way the movie does. Uh-huh. Because the movie, the test audiences didn't like the fact that everybody died. Because the play, the way it really ends is the plants take over the fucking world and start eating everyone. And it's fantastic. And
see, I love endings like that.
Oh my God. And when they did the 25th anniversary DVD, they actually included all this footage that no one had seen except those test audiences. Oh. That Frank Oz, they worked so hard on basically creating, the plants are taking over New York City and, like, knocking buildings over and reaching into buildings and pulling people out. And it's amazing. See, all this work fabulous. Went into that, and it just all got scrapped. So it was nice to be able to see that. But in the play, the way, at least this production, the way they did that, like, the plant keeps, like, growing and growing and moving uh-huh. closer to the front of the stage and kind of comes out over the front row a little bit, like, kind of hovering. And all this stuff is, like, all these tentacles and stuff are going all over the stage. Well, what you don't see is that from the balcony, somehow, I guess someone hits a button, and all these tentacles unfurl and just fall.
Oh.
And the entire row behind us screams their heads off because the tentacles, like, fall on them.
How fabulous.
And my mom and I turn around and we see that. And oh my God, I don't think we've ever laughed that hard ever. And it was just one of those things that I kept thinking, like, just watching my mom laugh that hard uh-huh. at something so stupid. And it was like, oh my God. And it led into, like a lifelong obsession with that musical. Uh-huh. And we even, when we were at a video store, back in the video store days, when I saw the video for the Corman movie, and I said, Mom, should we rent it? And she was like, yeah. Uh-huh. And she watched the Roger Corman movie with me. It just started, like, this whole, I think that was
because, yeah, that old movie, it's kind of, it's not wonderful.
But it also, I mean, the thing that's weirdly famous about it is that it was Jack Nicholson's first movie, because he plays the weirdo who likes going to the dentist because he's into pain. And so, yeah, and that started her and me on a whole let's watch shitty old horror movies thing, which, that was one of the things at Mom's funeral, that because we all wrote down stuff for my yeah. cousin who did the eulogy, and that was one of the things that I put in there. And I know that both of my sisters were just like, I don't know what she's like. What do you mean, yeah. Mom watching old horror movies? It's like, Mom watched Basket Case with me, okay? It's like, Mom.
Oh, my mom would never watch anything even remotely like that.
because we'd gotten to a point where she was like, hey, if you want to watch it, let's watch it, you know? It's like, of course it's going to be stupid. Of course it's going to be ridiculous. And she was totally okay with that, because that's, we, you know. But that's just, yeah. There's a lot of those kind of, oh my God, I can't believe we're watching this stuff with Mom. Because she was always willing to do stuff like that with me.
See, I remember, like, my mom, you know, she's fanatical about Phantom of the Opera.
Oh, God,
like,
yeah.
Absolutely fanatical about it. That's, like, her favorite show ever. I think she's seen it probably 8 or 9 times.
You know, that's one of those shows that I don't think anyone likes it a little bit. I think everyone who likes it loves
it. I mean,
it.
I liked it, but so mom...
See, I just, I've never even seen it.
And she was so excited. She was literally sitting next to me going, hoo, and poking me at certain parts. Like, her favorite part, she'd, like, poke me so to make really damn sure I was paying attention.
God.
And she's like, and just wait for this, and just wait for this. And she was so excited. It was like me being...
Oh, yeah.
Like making my cousin go see The Empire Strikes Back for the 5th time or something. You know what I mean?
Oh, this is the best part. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, my God.
And I really enjoyed it.
Yeah. I mean, not as much as if, let's say, if we'd gone to... Was it Toronto? Where Paul Stanley played the Phantom for
yes.
a while. If we had gotten to see that, I would have done that.
And I was, I was a little disappointed that they didn't release a soundtrack album for that.
But, it's unusual for them to do that kind of thing, though.
But I did hear enough of the recordings.
All the bootleg stuff, yeah.
Where, I mean, he really wasn't that great.
There were parts where I was impressed, but... A lot of times he didn't maintain it. Like, I couldn't imagine through an entire performance that his voice wasn't giving out by the end.
I mean, I think that people appreciate... He actually got fairly good reviews.
I think people were surprised that he could do it.
That he could do it, but he really wasn't that great. And I think...
Right.
There's a reason why they didn't come out with a soundtrack album with him on it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Because it wouldn't have held up to the scrutiny of a recording. Well, now, if he did that back in the days of, like, The Elder... He could have totally nailed all that.
Which, for the people who don't know Kiss, there was a Kiss album in the early 80s that was like a prog rock kind of idea that sort of the soundtrack to a movie that didn't happen. And it's actually pretty fucking fabulous.
Yeah.
But he really sang his ass off on that album.
Oh,
it was amazing.
And, but, yeah. But it was impressive that he could do it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
My mind is filled with such silliness. And I get delighted by the weirdest fucking things that happened 30 years ago or 10 years ago.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and there's so many of those little things. But the things that I will never, ever, ever, ever forget in a million years, which I know I've mentioned it on the show before.
Possibly,
is Verity's father saying, Verity, don't forget your deodorant. And that really is one of my favorite memories because I laughed and laughed and laughed. And she didn't understand why I thought it was so funny.
Oh, God.
And she was really offended that he even said it.
Oh, totally. Oh, God.
And it was totally because she stank like B.O. and polyester because she wouldn't bathe.
Yeah.
And
oh God,
that's just one of my favorite memories. And
just
anyone
having to yell that to anyone else is just amazing. Oh God. Oh.
And I know that's so stupid, but it really, really, really is one of my favorite memories of my life because I will be like a dying old man and I will think about that and laugh.
Oh yeah.
You know what I mean?
Oh my God. Oh God. Well, you know, cons are filled. Anything con-related. There's so many. And some of our favorite little individual moments like that are things that we don't know the story behind it. We don't know what led up to it. We don't know these people.
Oh, yeah.
But we would have witnessed a singular moment in someone's life. And we committed them to memory. Because we just saw something so amazing. And we can't explain it, and we don't, yeah. Oh, God.
I know, I had one of those happen, yes, the thing that I will never forget. Like, I know we've talked about this with you, but, like, you know, like, my mom with Marie Osmond's hair.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Like, that, it's like another one of those things, hair-related, that my mom was just saying just last week. And again, I will remember this forever, and it'll delight me. She was like, Oh, Pitney. I went to this new salon, and let me tell you, she was really cute, but she can't color hair worth shit.
Oh my god. Oh.
And oh my god. And again, oh. I will never ever forget that because.
Oh my god.
I love the absurdities of day to day life. Like, people's weird, you know what I
mean? And that she's so angry. Oh my god. See, for me, it would be like if my mom said something like that, it would be the, oh, she decided to swear today. Because there was a period where most of my life, my parents, like, really didn't cuss. And then when we all passed the 18-year mark, it was like, go time. But mom still was not big on cussing, but there was a period, like, when she turned, like, 60... Like, shit became her favorite word.
Oh, really? Oh, God, my mom's always swore a lot. Oh, she loved saying shit.
Oh, well, like, well, my dad, you know, because he was, you know, military and stuff, so he cussed like crazy. But then when, you know, when they had the first kid and she was at the age where she would repeat every single word and she's in her little car seat or whatever and he's in traffic and he's yelling at somebody and then all of a sudden she's saying stuff from the back seat, and like apparently he figured out how to just turn that off and not do it. God, I mean I can't even not cuss at work. I mean I don't do it as bad, but yeah, I mean there was the day that I don't even remember exactly what it was, but something just made me go motherfuck that loud. And, like, people from cubicles all over the place were like, what? It's like, oh, yeah, that was a good day.
Oh, I know, because, I mean, cuss all the time, but I think the funniest thing, too, is, like, doesn't involve cussing, but involves, like, inappropriate behavior in public from my mother. My cousin Bernadette.
Okay.
Anyway, not even worth the effort of going into her, but one day... At the Easter table with the whole family there, my mom got so outraged at something that Bernadette said that she was just like, "You awful fat ass!"
Oh my god! Oh my god!
And Bernadette got up and slammed her chair down and stormed into her room and nobody said a word.
Wow. But
oh my god, I was so delighted. I was just thought it was the most fabulous thing ever.
Oh my god. Wow. Oh, that's amazing. Oh, I love that. Oh my god, so we have a little news story here that technically it's a hating on Satan, but in this case, it's a little different, but okay. It's short. So let's have a little hating on Satan.
Hating on Satan.
Now, I want to start off by saying that I am very proud of Arkansas in this instance.
Okay.
I don't get to say that.
That's...
I don't get to say that very often.
Okay. Yes.
I mean, I have some experience in Arkansas. My husband's family is all from Arkansas. Like, very, very rural, small town. Like, the part of Arkansas that Glen Campbell was from. My father-in-law, like, his school used to play Glen Campbell's school, like, at basketball and shit.
Ooh, you know. So you have a claim to fame.
I have seen the house that Glen Campbell bought his mama.
Fabulous.
It wasn't much of a house. But for Delight, Arkansas, it was kind of nice.
Right.
You know. All right, anyway, so... Satan ruled out as experts puzzle over mysterious flaming pit in Arkansas.
Wow, okay.
So, okay, here. Experts are trying to determine the cause of flames of up to 12 feet high spontaneously erupting from a pit in Midway, Arkansas last month. Just this big hole in the ground that actually had been there for a while.
Uh-huh.
And the suspicion had been that it was like animals dug it. It, well, mm-hmm. I mean, you know. So no one had a problem when it was just a hole, but then suddenly fire's shooting out of it, and no one knows why. And that's fantastic.
That's exciting, though, yeah.
So they've come up empty. They don't know what caused it, but they know what didn't cause it. And so we have a quote here from County Judge Mickey Pendergrass, which is about as Arkansas a name as you can get. As far as the spiritual Satan goes, we've ruled that out. He didn't come up and stick his pitchfork in the ground and blow that hole out. I mean, it's just, it's apparently like a pretty, oh, they also ruled out a meteor strike because it's a big hole, but it's not that big.
Yeah.
It's apparently, it's 3.5 feet deep. And apparently it was like,
that's so
like
weird.
Almost 800 degrees inside the hole when the fire was shooting out of it. But like,
wow.
People saw the hole before and they saw the hole after and they can't figure out what the fuck it was.
But I'm sure that that response had to have been people from the town trying to say that it was a hell hole.
Oh, totally. It was a hell mouth. Absolutely. Yeah. There's no question. Whatever. Yeah. Yeah. You know, Mr. Pendergrass, Judge Pendergrass, what ignited it and what fueled it, we still don't know, and it may remain forever a mystery.
Wow.
I like him. I like Judge
was
Mickey
Pendergrass.
Was there
pictures of it?
There. I didn't print them, but there was. I mean, not of the not a flame shooting
but
out,
but just the hole.
There was a picture of the hole. I mean, it was a hole.
Wow!
It was
looked
just a
like
hole.
Just like dirt.
Yeah, it was just like a hole, like in some pasture land or something. It was just a hole.
Wow! Yeah. Oh, I'm fascinated. I want to know.
But like, they thought maybe there was some kind of weird natural gas thing. Mm-hmm. Like maybe there'd been some geological phenomenon and some gas was leaking out and somehow it caught fire or whatever, but like nobody knows because nobody saw it start. They just went, oh my god, there's fire over
cool.
there, and it was all coming out of this hole. I think it's great.
It has to be some kind of a hoax.
I hope so. And it'll be, I mean, now, you know, Midway, Arkansas.
Yeah.
Now, I bet they'll, like, you know, charge everybody 50 cents to go look at the hole now.
I bet somehow it was teenagers.
Well, you know, small rural town, there's literally nothing to do.
I bet it was teenagers.
But if that town can make a few bucks off of come look at the hole.
I would
totally go look at it. We have been known on road trips to stop and give somebody a dollar to go see some weird thing.
I would absolutely go look at that hole. I would.
Yeah. 50 cents to come see the hole. The hole that's not Satan.
I know.
Satan? Question mark. For listening. If you enjoy our show, please take a moment to rate and review us on Apple Podcasts or Stitcher.
If you send us a screenshot of your review, we'll send you a Bitchin' Boutique sticker.
Everyone loves stickers! Please subscribe or add us to your favorites wherever you get your podcasts.
Subscribers get new episodes first and are also more attractive.
Drop us a line anytime at pitneyandamelia@gmail.com.
We'd love to hear from you.
That, I love the hole though.
Oh, it's very exciting. You don't often get to say you love the hole.
I know. That's true.
But when there's a hole, I have been known to enjoy it.
I know.